This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jocelyn Lancaster, and today I'm here with Kara Powell, who is the author of Growing With, as well as the executive director of DeFlore Youth Institute. Welcome to the show, Kara.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, right now, we are talking about something that's happening in the news, and a lot of people are generating conversation, which is the college admission scandal. And for listeners who may not be familiar with this, a couple weeks ago, there was a massive scandal in which celebrities like Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman were accused and charged with bribing college admissions agents and different people to getting their kids into school, and it indicted something like 50 plus people. And yeah, there's a lot happening right now as people try to get to the bottom of this. But I also
more schools, it looks like, are being affected. I know we've just even heard today about an additional campus where potentially a student was let in because of this scandal. So it's possible that we're going to see this scandal just continue to grow and grow.
And it just amazes me, because I'm always like, what kind of person pays $15,000 to get their kid into school when tuition doesn't even cost $15,000 in some places?
Yeah. Well, and I'm a parent of a 12th grader who has actually applied to many of the colleges that are involved in the scandal. He's been accepted to a few, rejected by a few, and still waiting to hear from a handful of colleges. So college admissions overall is quite real for me around our kitchen island, I can assure you.
Absolutely. I remember when I was going through this process, oh goodness, about a decade ago now, that we didn't even think about college admission scandals. We were just like, how do I actually get into college? What scholarships can I get? It was no option for my parents to pay $15,000 to have my head photoshopped on an athletic body and pretend I could row and crew, because I can't do that.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. We're in a new era, and it's harder and harder to get into colleges. Admissions percentages at many of our nation's most prestigious schools are dropping, which raises new questions and pressures for families, for parents who, you know, are trying to do the best for their kids, are super well-intentioned, and yet sometimes unknowingly we're probably putting too much pressure on our kids in ways that can come back and backfire.
Oh, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, Steve Argue, my co-author, and I, we dive into this in our book, Growing With, that, you know, we as parents, as our kids are growing up, and I will say this as a parent of a 12th grader, 10th grader, and 7th grader, as my kids are growing up, my husband and I, one of our biggest fears is that they're going to grow apart from us. And so it's so tempting to try to helicopter parent them, to try to control their options, which is really what these parents involved in the scandal were trying to do. I mean, it's kind of the ultimate Uber helicopter parenting. we somewhat want the best for our kids, but I think we're also trying to feel better about ourselves. You know, we want to be able to say that our kid is going to such and such prestigious school. At least I know I certainly deal with that temptation and tendency myself. And so in the midst of fearing that our kids are going to grow apart from us, we unfortunately put too much pressure on them, when what we should be doing is what Steve Argue and I call growing with them.
Okay.
What we should be doing is, what we mean by growing with, is a mutual journey of intentional growth for both ourselves and our kids that trust God to transform us all. Mm-hmm. And in light of the college admissions scandal, I mean, if I can just highlight one word of that definition.
Go for it.
It's trust. You know, as our kids face all sorts of forks in the road, whether it be what college they're going to apply to and get into, whether it be their post-college job, whether it be relationships during and after high school and into their 20s, you know, I think what I would love to be as a parent myself is someone who's really trusting God and modeling that for my kids. And that's what beats at the heart of growing with parenting.
I love that answer, because I'm a millennial, and I hear all the time about millennials aren't growing up, you're not buying houses, you're not getting married, you're not having kids. Do you think this role of like over-parenting has kind of bled into the millennial generation, and that's part of why we're having a hard time?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question, because on the one hand, the traditional markers of adulthood for 20-somethings are being experienced about an average of 5 years later. Mm-hmm. So census data is showing that, you know, young adults like you, Jessalyn, are potentially getting married 5 years later, having babies 5 years later, becoming financially independent 5 years later, more in late 20s than early 20s. So there's this kind of brake pedal happening in young people today. And I think in part because adults are over-parenting during high school. But what's confusing to parents today, and what can be confusing to me as a parent, is while there's this brake pedal, there's also this gas pedal. Because on the one hand, especially with teenagers, it feels like they're growing up more quickly than ever. You know, the average 14-year-old is exposed to things that I wasn't exposed to until college or beyond. Mm-hmm. So there's both this brake pedal and this gas pedal. And if you've ever tried to drive a car with one foot on the brake pedal and one foot on the gas pedal, that's a herky-jerky ride.
It's not going to go very well.
I don't recommend it. Just to be clear to listeners, I'm not recommending that. And, you know, that's challenging for our young adults today. And it's challenging for parents who are trying to, you know, journey with their young adults. And so that's why we need a new posture in parenting. We need new skills in parenting. We need new help to know how to really empower our kids, how to truly let them go. Because as we've seen in the college admission scandal, parents are often not very good at letting their kids go and letting their kids thrive on their own.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the college admissions process, because parents are heavily involved, at least my parents were heavily involved in that process. What can parents do to help their children?
Yeah, great question. Well, I would say stay in communication with your kid, absolutely. But as much as you can, shift the burden to your late junior or 12th grader of applications and deadlines to him or her. I mean, really, if you think about it, a year from the time they're applying to college, this young adult is going to be at college, you know, making decisions on their own. And so I view the college application process as a wonderful on-ramp toward adulting, which is a verb we hear about quite a bit on social media today.
It's a real word. Toward, I accept it.
Especially for millennials. They love it. And so... You know, I would say as a parent with your 12th grader, figure out a system that your 12th grader can manage to help them hit the deadlines they need to hit, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this, for my husband and me, we realized with our son Nathan, who's our 12th grader, that this was our one and only chance to go through college with him. And he applied to a lot of colleges. He applied to 11 schools.
Oh, wow.
And that's if you count the University of California system as one school. So he applied to a lot of schools. He did a ton of work. But we really wanted to make it something that drew us together instead of created stress and separated us. So there's a couple ways we did that. Number one, when we did college visits, we really tried to make them fun. You know, we hopped in the minivan and drove to different campuses. And we always tried to do fun things near those campuses. We made it, you know, family bonding experience. Sometimes we'd skip a tour here or there because we wanted to instead have some relaxing time or get a special meal with our son. The other great thing that I did not realize this until we were hit deep in the application process is a college interview is like, as a parent, it's like your best excuse to have a fantastic conversation with your kid because you get to ask your kid all sorts of questions as you're practicing with them for that interview that you might not get to ask them otherwise. And so, you know, I Googled all sorts of college interview questions, and I sat with Nathan an hour here, an hour there, and I would ask him questions, and I asked him questions about himself. What does he like about himself? What would he change about himself? What were his favorite things about his high school experience? What did he wish he had done differently? You know, how does his faith tend to grow? How does he see his faith being integrated with his interest in math and science? Because those are academic interests. And again, because those are questions I like to ask my son, but he's not always in the mood, but because it was under the umbrella of interview practice, we had so many great conversations because of that. So
I love it as you're talking.
So that's a bonus for parents. That's something to really look forward to in the college process.
Great. You had said, you know, let's make this looking for college is fun. Let's make it a family experience. When I was a sophomore in high school and my sister would have been in eighth grade, my parents informed my sister we were going to a fair. And she thought that we were going to, like, a county fair with, like, brides and cotton candy. And then we showed up to a college fair. And my sister has never been so disappointed in her life.
Yeah, she's probably thought, hey, man, what a ripoff. Absolutely.
But it was just an example to me of, like, that was something that my family, and we have a very close nuclear family, that we did together. And my sister actually ended up going to the same school I did eventually, unbeknownst to the fair. But
yes, yes.
Now, one of the things that blows my mind about this scandal is the amount of money that parents pay to get their kids into school. Now, for parents who don't have this amount of money and students who really want to get into a prestigious school, what are some options for them?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, I'm no college admissions expert, but, you know, what I do know that college admissions counselors are looking for, besides the obvious of grades and test scores, is they want to see a young person who will invest in their college campus and in their college community. And so, you know, again, as a parent, this is a wonderful excuse to talk with our high school students about the kind of difference they want to make while they're in high school, which, you know, is fundamentally good for them as teenagers anyway. And, oh, by the way, it's also something that a college admissions team is going to be looking for on your application, which, you know, reminds me, Jessalyn, with Nathan, again, our 12th grader.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was talking to him and I drew two circles and they overlapped maybe about a fourth. And I said, you know, Nathan, this left circle is things that are good for you. Things like serving others, things like being involved in sports, et cetera. These are things like being involved in leadership, things like being involved in our youth ministry at our church. He leads worship every week. Nathan, these are things that are good for you. Now, this second circle that overlaps with this first circle, these are things that are good for a college application.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really want to focus on for you in high school is things that are good for you, you know, primarily good for you, that are going to form you into the man who God wants you to be.
Mm.
Now, every once in a while, there might be something that's in that second circle that, you know, is we're doing really because of a college interest every once in a while. But for the most part, you know, we want your summer plans to be influenced, to be driven by your interests and, you know, what's best for you, not what looks good on a college essay, not what looks good on a college application. And so, you know, I would encourage parents to think about that, to really ultimately, sure, we'll go ahead and look up what colleges are looking for, talk to a counselor at your school or in your community. There's all sorts of private counselors who you can meet with. But don't make that the focus. Focus on what you believe is best for your child's growth, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Make that, you know, 90-95% of what you focus on in high school. And then every once in a while, if you feel like, oh, it would be great if they did, you know, this camp, or, you know, one other thing because of college to kind of round things out, suggest it to the kid. But it's really ultimately about what's best for your child.
Absolutely. And I think you hit on a point there that we talk a lot about at Charisma, but a lot of people haven't talked about in regards to this scandal, is the spiritual element of trying to pick a college, the spiritual element of how you decide what the Lord wants you to do with your life. What advice would you have for parents as they're trying to teach their children how to pursue the Lord's will for their life?
Oh, man, that's such a fantastic question.
I'm glad you like my questions.
Yeah, you asked great questions.
I did my research.
No wonder you have a podcast that's doing so well and liked by so many. You know, here's what I would say. Again, as a parent, it's tempting to want your kid to be at the most prestigious school possible, whatever that is for your family and your kid. It's tempting to care about the sweatshirt your kid wears and the hat that you'll get to wear on the weekend that has your kid's college name on it. But ultimately, what's most important is the kid who's wearing the sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's who they are. And so, again, as I'm literally waiting every day to hear from colleges for Nathan, my biggest prayer, and I prayed it this morning, Jessalyn, my biggest prayer is that Nathan would go to the school where he's going to grow the most spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that's what I care about the most. That is what Dave and I care about the most. And then secondly, that he will go to the school where he will develop the relationships that are going to form him as God wants him to be formed. The friends, the mentors, and the faith community. Those are my two biggest prayers for where Nathan ends up in college, for his faith and for those relationships. And so I would say make those your two primary prayers and make those your two primary criteria. So once Nathan knows where he's gotten into school and he's narrowed it down to his top, you know, two or three options, we're planning on doing a deep dive on those schools, looking into the churches nearby, looking into the Christian ministries on campus, trying to understand what community life is like. We did, of course, much of that before he submitted applications, but now we're going to do a deeper dive where hopefully, again, they're all, most of the schools he applied to are in California, so they're a van drive away from us in Los Angeles. We're probably going to visit the campuses again because, you know, I want him to experience that campus again now as a potential student who's gotten in, not as a 11th grader, you know, visiting a year ahead of time. And you know, we're just going to be praying that as we're walking on campuses, as we're talking to people, as we're visiting InterVarsity and crew and navigators and churches nearby, that, that the Holy Spirit will make it clear. So I would say, you know, arrive on the criteria that are most important. And for us, it's where Nathan's faith is going to grow and those relationships. And then get the information you can by visiting the school, by talking to students, by talking to other Christians to see how those various schools are going to do against those criteria, and then trust the Holy Spirit, you know, whether it's just the impression you have when you're walking on a campus or the impression your kid has or whatever it might be to reveal a good fit for your child.
That's wonderful. Even as you're talking, I'm reminded that when I went to school, I went to a small Christian school outside Chattanooga called Lee University. And when I went to visit the campus the first time, I remember that I felt the Lord's presence so strongly just walking around.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew it was the school for me. Now, they're incredibly well-ranked, especially for a Christian school. They're incredibly affordable. And this isn't just a plug for Lee. But it was one of the things that really helped seal the deal for me. Now, we are almost out of time for today. Do you have anything that I haven't asked that you would like to add?
You know, I guess I would add one more element out of our Growing With book. And we already talked about the verb adulting. There's another verb we talk about in Growing With, which is faithing, F-A-I-T-H-I-N-G. And, you know, so often we, as Christians, tend to think of faith as a noun, and it certainly is a noun, and it's also a verb. Which I love thinking of faith more as a verb because that helps us remember that it is growing and evolving and changing. And so what I want for parents is to be able to recognize and that and talk about that with their teenagers and their young adults. And so, you know, two of my favorite questions to ask our 16 and 18-year-olds, haven't asked a 12-year-old yet, but our 16 and 18-year-olds, I love asking them these two questions. What do you no longer believe about life and faith that you think I still believe? And what do you now believe about life and faith that you think I don't believe? And as we describe in our Going With book, I mean, the beauty of having, of asking those kinds of questions with your kids is you're communicating, hey, your faith is going to keep growing. And that is totally fine, and I want us to keep talking about that even when you disagree with me. Maybe even especially when you disagree with me. And so, you know, I ask those questions. What do you no longer believe that you think I believe? What do you now believe that you think I don't believe? And sometimes I hold my breath wondering what they're going to say.
That can be scary.
Exactly. And sometimes they say, oh, not much, you know, and it's kind of status quo. Other times, they've got something to talk about, and we have a good conversation. And while the conversation can be scary, I'd sure rather have the conversation than have them be wrestling with something in silence. And I'd encourage parents, mentors of teenagers and young adults to think about how they can bring up those questions that young people are wrestling with in the midst of young people facing.
You know, as you say that, I'm like, how do I write that down so I will have that note in 20 years when I have kids? Those are excellent questions.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, actually, I got them from my co-author, Steve Argue. He's been out, his kids are a few years older than mine. He's been asking them of his daughters. And so I said, oh, Steve, we've got to put those in the book. Those are so good.
So keep a copy of the book around. Well, Kara, thank you so much for stopping by our show today. We really appreciate your insight and your wisdom.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a great conversation.
Thank you. All right. You can have a great day.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Green. I'm the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network and love our family here at Charisma. And I remember back in a lot of my days as a pastor and as a leader of students, as a dean and as a college professor for most of my life, I've seen people in times of need. I've tried to help them. Sometimes pastoral counseling can only go so far. We can only say so much, and there's times to turn to a professional. And I recognize those times often in the various stages of life. People just need a little extra help. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going to a doctor, getting medical attention, or folks just for reaching out and trying to talk to someone in a time of need. So I want to introduce you to some friends of ours that are sponsoring the Charisma News, and we're so thankful for that. But I want to talk to you from my heart about the importance of going and reaching out to people who are professional and know what they're doing and have and can give wise counsel. The name of the company is BetterHelp Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed, that's so important, licensed Christian counselors who share our faith, who will help you through whatever problem it is that you need to talk to someone about. You can begin a conversation whenever you're ready. You can do it by text or by phone or even on a secure video conference line right from your home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just connect through any of the devices that are available. These counselors, the faithful counselors, share our faith and Christian values, and they have the experience, a professional experience, to help you with any of the issues that you want to chat about. They combine biblical wisdom with clinical expertise in mental health. Our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation, and they help you to formulate an action plan that will address the challenges that all of their clients face. You know, the more private you think your problem is, I'm going to tell you as a pastor that it's pretty universal. The very deep problem you have is probably a universal problem. Other folks have it. So the goal of BetterHelp Faithful Counseling is to help your well-being, to get you back to that mental state of peace and love and harmony so that you're going to feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. So I'm going to recommend you go to faithfulcounseling.com. Let me say it again, faithfulcounseling.com, and then put a slash charisma news. I want you to do that. Don't forget that backslash because you'll get 10% off your first month, and that's important. We want you to note that you were listening to Charisma News, but they're going to reward you with a discount. So it's faithfulcounseling.com/charisma news, and you'll have 10% off your first month. You'll be asked to fill out a questionnaire. That's just going to help you to assess your needs and help them to understand where you are at the moment. And they'll use that to match you up with the right counselor, not just the first available phone, but the right counselor. Again, faithfulcounseling.com/charisma news. Now, I want to say a couple of things about what it's not. This is not a crisis line. This is not just a phone you pick up and just anyone's there to talk to you. These are licensed United States therapists across all 50 states. It's available worldwide. 4 communication modes. That means you can talk to them by text, by chat, by phone, and even video. It's all included. You can start communicating with someone. You can get help within 24 hours, under 24 hours, really. It's available on your desktop. It's on a mobile web. It's on an Android and iOS apps. You can schedule video and phone sessions. You can do that weekly if you care to. It really just depends on what the therapist thinks you need to do. And you'll talk it out. You'll agree to it. No one's going to twist your arm or tie you into a long-term contract. They're going to talk to you. It's easy to change counselors if you happen to connect with someone and you don't feel connected. They can help you by finding another counselor that maybe is able to talk to you on your terms. So I wanted you to make sure you understood that you can change counselors if you want to. They have broad expertise in their entire network of counselors, and they're going to be able to connect with you in a way that maybe someone locally can't do that. The broad counselor base is what's going to help you. Financial aid is available if you qualify. And I want to tell you, it's secure. You can trust them. They wouldn't be on this network. You can trust them. They're convenient. They're professional. And they're affordable. And remember, you get 10% off your first month if you use this code, faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. I'm thankful for these folks. I'm thankful that a Christian ministry is available to help those of you who just need a little help talking through some issues. faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. Now back to the news.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.